You're about to enjoy this replay of the Suns UCF Live brought to you by Dariga, matching your company with the right talent. Today, I want to talk more about Dariga, a company that's revolutionizing the way businesses tackle one of their most critical challenges, finding the right talent. Dariga stands out for the groundbreaking approach to recruitment, which is really more like matchmaking. They also have deep-rooted ties to UCF. Ray Bazzi, their founder, is a UCF alum who actually started the company based on a class project during his MBA program. Also, their commitment to UCF runs deep. 95% of their employees are UCF graduates. Many companies turn to Dariga, and you should too. To find out more, go to knightrecruiting.com. That's Knight with a K to learn more about Dariga. Dariga, matching your company with the right talent.
Hello, Knight Nation. I'm Trace Trelko, joined by Adam Eaton. Welcome in to Sons of UCF Live. Adam, busy sports night. We're going head-to-head with a lot of things.
Yeah, I was going to say, so those of you who are watching, you are the diehards, and we love you dearly.
Thank you. There's hockey,
there's basketball, there's NFL draft. There's a lot of options tonight, so appreciate you spending an hour with us here talking some UCF sports. We'll have some fun. We'll have some hijinks, and Trace looks a little different. I think you have a new setup here. You look a little different than normal in your setup there.
Do I? Is it me?
Are you more to the side than you normally are? I also look different too because I'm further back for some reason.
I may have moved the table during the week.
You sound terrific though, by the way. Sound is crisp out of you tonight. That's all I had.
Thank you. Seeing the guys dressed up for the NFL draft, I feel like we're underdressed. We're underdressed, by the way, Adam.
Well, I didn't. We usually don't wear the same shirt, so this is awkward.
I said I think we're underdressed.
Yeah, we have the same shirt on, though, which is not good.
Yeah. NFL draft, about to go on the clock. You'll keep us posted as best you can throughout for those who are joining us. Expect at least one name, former UCF football player, to be drafted sometime over the next couple of days. I asked in a poll question, how many former UCF football players do you expect to be drafted? And two came in, about 60% of the vote. I like the person who picked the three or more and said Tatum Bethune. Found a little loophole in the question. What do you think? For sure, we're gonna have one. I think Tylan Grable gets drafted as well, along with Javon Baker. What about you?
Yeah, I roll the dice with two, Trace. I think obviously we book Javon Baker as a for sure pick, but I think you roll the dice in Tylan Grable. Dare I say, I know we got accused of this on the YouTube responses. Someone said, why the love for John Rhys Plumlee? I didn't realize we were that show, but maybe, just maybe, somebody takes a late round flyer on JRP. So I'm going to go two as my pick. I think three is a bit of a bridge too far for me.
What about a guy like Tre'Mon Morris-Brash? You think maybe late?
You know, look, I'm not a draft guru by any sense, although I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express one evening. Mm-hmm. His numbers just weren't great at the Big 12 Pro Day. He didn't get a lot of combine invites. I don't know if he sneaks in the draft board trades. I think his measurables, his numbers don't really match up. So he doesn't pretend for me to be a guy that may get his name called in the draft, but maybe your annual Jacksonville Jaguar post-draft edition.
Who the Jags are inking some guys, some free agents, though, for sure, right? One or two.
I'm guessing my annual, like, who are the Jags going to sign? Give me Alec Holler, just because. And then give me Tre'Mon Morris-Brash. Those are my two UCF guys to Jacksonville.
That's funny. I expect a bunch of guys to get signed as free agents, though.
That has
been the case for many years for UCF. You'll see a bunch of guys sign, and maybe somebody hangs on in there and then, you know, ends up the Marlon Williams route into the, what is it now? The UFL. So,
Well, you're Birmingham Stallions, Trace. You got to think a guy like Lokai Pulue gets a look at a camp or two, right? I saw Ryan Swoboda just inked with the Atlanta Falcons on their sort of their practice squad, their training camp squad. I mean, big physical, like, offensive linemen don't grow on trees. So you got to figure guys like Lokai Pulue may have an opportunity at some point to get his name called somewhere. Maybe not in the draft, but maybe post-draft, get himself into a training camp.
Well, good luck to all of the former UCF football players. We'll be watching this over the next couple of days. Are the Bears yet officially on the clock, or we're just padding this show out with commercials.
Right now, we're padding it out right now. Mattress Firm is on my screen. Mike Greenberg is doing what Mike Greenberg does. And so we got some time, but we'll keep you posted here as if you don't know the first three picks.
Is your channel of choice then ESPN instead of the NFL Network?
It's a great ABC. Question you ask. My son just asked me this. He said, what channel do we watch the draft on, Dad? And I was like, as long as I've been alive, it's been on ESPN. NFL Network didn't exist when I was a kid, so I've always watched it on ESPN.
Back in your day.
Back in my day. I can't hear the volume anyway, so I don't need Nick Saban on my TV. So I've got ESPN on right now. That's tried and true. Mm-hmm. Go to ESPN. That's where you go.
Well, we'll be watching that over the next hour. As the portal turns, UCF's lost quite a few guys. Couple of incoming names so far. The big boom in the last couple of days was the Ohio State safety, Cedric Hawkins, former four-star from Coco High, chose UCF over a slew of schools. That's certainly boom-worthy. Edge rusher Nijala Kelly in from Miami, and then long snapper. I didn't expect that to be the mix, by the way. A safety, edge rusher, and a long snapper. Jack Bernstein in from Georgia State with a couple of years of eligibility, which is something you like to see. How do you think, what's your assessment of the portal movements? It's not closed yet. There's still some days left in this thing. But UCF doesn't seem like it's taken a big hit so far.
Shh, don't say anything.
Don't blame me.
Yeah, look, obviously, I think there was a lot of like rumors that were floating around out there that had people really concerned, right? Some big name guys who were talking to people, had some options, whatever. That seems to have settled down, which hopefully stays the same. But the Matt Lee rule still applies here. Is if there are days on the calendar available to you, don't count until it's done. In terms of UCF's portal, here's what I find interesting, Trace, and I wonder if you agree with this. I felt like the winter portal that opened up, UCF prioritized experience. They prioritized snaps on the field. They prioritized guys who had multi-years of playing on the field. I feel like with this spring portal, they're prioritizing more potential. You know, Cedric Hawkins did not play a down for Ohio State last year. Nijala Kelly was injured for a lot. He played a couple in his first 2 years. Jack Bernstein, long snapper, will get over it, right? The other names that are out there, a guy like Cormani McClain, again, I'm not saying he's coming to UCF, but that's a name that's mentioned a ton, didn't get a lot of run, didn't get a lot of snaps. So it feels like in the winter, UCF prioritized production. They prioritized veterans who were on the field playing down after down, and no matter what conference you were. In the spring, it feels like they're going after potential names, guys that, you know, are 4 or 5 stars that haven't really panned out from a development standpoint. So I think that's my biggest observation, at least. And I don't know if that's strategic by Gus. You get the guys in you want that are going to make the day in day out plays, and you take some flyers on some guys and hope they work out. But that's my biggest takeaway so far in UCF's portal haul, I guess I'll call it here, so far in the spring.
Gus has seemed to acknowledge that they made mistakes a year ago in the portal, that there was a bit of a learning curve and that they're adjusting to it. So you'd like to be able to say you see a more of a strategic approach now. It seemed like a year ago they were going after names of guys from, you know, brand name schools. And we certainly know that a lot of that didn't turn out right. So it's going to be an inexact science, just as high school recruiting is. I think what's interesting about the names that have left is, right, we talk about this in the pros, clearing cap space. I think he's trying to clear out some scholarship opportunities there, you know, free up some scholarships and give him some more options over spring.
Yeah, I mean, last year you mentioned it, to bring it back really quickly, guys like Fred Davis, Demarcus Bowman, Ryan Davis from Clemson, from Florida, from Georgia, right? It felt like we fell in love with the guys from the big name schools who didn't have a ton of tape. If this is Gus's philosophy, I like it on paper. Get production, then go get some potential and see what matches up. But in terms of losses, I mean, I was looking at the list. What's the biggest loss on this list, Trace? Is it Timmy McClain just because you knew who he was and he had some snaps that you could understand? I mean, a guy like Xavier Carter, an edge rusher, he wasn't here long enough to know, but big guys on the defensive line never hurt. Like, I go through this list and I'm like, I don't really know the
Timmy
name
Timmy McClain. Because of the Nekai? Veteran presence that Nekai was a name, and especially when the portal opened in a couple of days. Yeah, that was the big name. But when you look at the production, what he did a year ago and the competition during spring camp, you know, a lot of these are conversations too with guys saying, hey, this is where you are in the depth chart coming out of spring, right? Which, you know, one of the names that entered was Xavier Williams, former quarterback that they had converted on the defensive side of the ball, who from all accounts said, had a good spring. You know, I asked as a Twitter poll question this week, what do you think? Are you satisfied with the quarterback room? And, you know, overwhelmingly, about two-thirds say yes. I don't know if you voted, but my vote would be no. I think we know what we have with KJ Jefferson. And I know this is the same for a lot of schools. And this is why I think Timmy McClain is a bigger loss, the biggest loss on that list. You also know what you had with Timmy McClain. That doesn't mean you necessarily win games when he comes in and all that, but boy, you got a bunch of freshmen in there. Should something happen, KJ Jefferson goes down for any period of time. And you can't say that it doesn't happen, right? Look at UCF and the quarterback position over a number of years. You can't say that injuries won't occur. How comfortable are you at QB2 with this list?
First, one thing I must say on the NFL draft, Roger Goodell and Eminem are on stage together. I never thought I'd say that sentence out loud.
That's a pairing.
Secondly, yeah. Look, I think without a quarterback that's taken a snap in college football on this roster outside of KJ Jefferson, you've got to feel a little bit concerned. Now, you love the talent, you love the potential, you love what these guys could be, but when, you know, when it's time to play games, and we saw Timmy McClain have to get thrown to the fire last year, he had some experience, and I think even he would probably tell you it took a while to get his legs under him. So a guy like Dylan Risk, a guy like Riley Trujillo, EJ Colson, who have never been in that space, it's going to take some time for those guys to sort of figure it out. So I'd love to have a second person in that room that has some game rep experience that, to your point, maybe isn't going to be the perfect quarterback, but it allows you to at least, you know, bring your team forward. So I did not vote in this poll. I feel badly that I missed this now. Now it's awkward between us, but I would have voted no if I did actually see this poll and voted it. But I got a full-time job. What do you want me to do, Trace?
Yeah, we're in the no camp on this, but two-thirds say yes. Is that because they think you're getting a full year of production out of KJ Jefferson? And, you know, and that certainly could be the case, but that has not been the recent history for UCF with guys. And even at 266 pounds, as we learned last week, he at the quarterback position is susceptible to injury, just as anyone on the football field is.
Listen, first, are we calibrating the Fayetteville County scales? I need to know that before I answer that question. Secondly, look, we're also...
Could they be 20 pounds off?
Maybe the cell phone's in his pocket. I don't know. Secondly, look, we're an echo chamber, right? Like, you hear clips of people saying, Dylan Risk looks great. And then you go to the press conference and Gus says, Dylan Risk looks great. And then someone goes to spring game and says, I like Dylan Risk. And we're the echo chamber, right? So you hear the positivity and you think to yourself, okay, we're okay. So I do think there's a little bit of echo chamber that may have some people saying Dylan Risk is great, Riley Trujillo is the truth, we love EJ Colson, just because you hear good things. But hearing good things and seeing them on Saturday, you know, against Texas Tech is a whole different ball of wax. So that's why I think you need to add another veteran to that room, somebody who's got some game experience in actual college football, not just, you know, spring camps and spring games.
Well, you were at the spring game. You were one of the few people, as it was not streamed and drew maybe about 10,000 people. You saw Dylan Risk. How comfortable are you right now after having seen Dylan Risk for some action in the spring game?
He looked like a freshman to me. Like, he looked like a freshman who, you know, and again, the one thing I will say to be fair to him, if I could... The spring game is tough because they're not announcing who's in. There's no names on the back of the jersey. So you're running through like a list, like, who the heck is 66 again? So I don't know which, if it was the second team offensive line, the third team offensive line in. I will tell you from what I saw, Dylan Risk and Riley Trujillo were under a ton of pressure. I mean, and whether they were happy feet, get out of the pocket, or whether they were really getting pressure, it was hard to evaluate, but they both sort of left the pocket very early. I know Dylan Risk had a couple of throwaways. I joked on the podcast. He had one throwaway, and there was like an audible quasi moan slash boo in the crowd when he threw one away in like third and seven. So I think that they both, to me, looked like they were inexperienced, you know,
just young guys, freshman
quarterbacks. Yeah. Now, that's not to say they couldn't figure it out. You have a first team line and RJ Harvey behind you and Kobe Hudson and the, you know, running routes. Maybe it's different, but they just look like young, inexperienced quarterbacks. Not saying they're bad, but, you know, that just, it felt like you could use a little bit more seasoning out of those two guys.
So it's not going to surprise you if they try to get a little more veteran presence in the quarterback room through the portal.
Well, it shouldn't, because we saw it again, whether you think these are reputable sources or not. I want to say it was Pete Nakos from On3 is reporting that Ja'Kari Brown from Miami was scheduled to take a visit to UCF, right? He's a quarterback. So if that's accurate, UCF is telling you, hey, we want to have some quarterbacks come in and visit us. So whether there's others coming in, I don't know that, but you're hearing from media reports that quarterbacks are visiting UCF, right? So don't listen to me. Listen to Gus and the staff who are saying we still want to have some quarterbacks drop in and say hello to us.
You know who's a reputable source? It's our first guest of the evening on Suns UCF Live, a return guest, Chris Boyle, a UCF football reporter for the Daytona Beach News Journal. Chris, welcome back into Sons of UCF Live.
Reputable, huh? All right, I'll take it. How are you?
Fair.
I am good. I got to tell you, if we were drafting a media team and I had a pick, I'd pick you first. I'd pick you first. You're always asking good questions in the media room. This is where we butter up the guest right off the top.
Get a room, you two. Jeez. Yeah, you
gotta get back to the OG. Right, like, you know, Brandon Hellwig's been there since, you know, I was in elementary school, genuinely. So I appreciate the buttering up, but let's be real here. Let's give the guys their due that have been there just quite a few years longer than myself.
Let's not bury the lead, Trace. He basically just called Brandon old, which is fantastic. let's not bury the lead there.
You have a few years on me, but Gus's challenge on maybe a race. A media race. I think I could beat you. And I would train if I was head to head with you.
If this is going to be a serious thing, don't worry, Stephen Leonard. I got your message. It's happening. And,
wow.
I will knock seconds off of my 40 time.
I love it.
Seconds. Chris, NFL draft underway. I'd asked fans how many former UCF football players I think will get drafted. The overwhelming number was two. Are you at two? Somebody checked three and added Tatum Bethune to that, which I thought was good. A good little loophole pick there. Where are you at on this? We're going to see Javon Baker, maybe second, third round guy.
If you're including Tatum, you got to think about Matt Lee too. I think he's definitely.
Once a night, never a night.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're talking about the guys that finished last year on UCF's roster, I tend to think it's going to be two as well. I think, you know, the fact that Tylan Grable earned an invitation to the Combine and then really put up some impressive numbers there certainly will give him an opportunity. I think the overwhelming opinion that I've read and kind of the scouting reports have been that he's going to kick inside and play guard at the next level, and his athletic ability would be exceptional for a guard. So I think somebody's going to take a chance there on day three, and I think Javon Baker, you know, I remember thinking this even when he decided to come back. I thought he was an NFL wide receiver on this roster from even the start of this year. I thought he was a guy that only helped his stock throughout the course of the year. I don't think we really had to prove much else. And so I think he made the right decision. I expect him to go sometime tomorrow. The only problem for Baker, I think, is just the overwhelming number of wide receivers that are in this draft. The depth at the position is terrific. You're going to see probably five or six guys at least go tonight. And then it's just kind of a matter of you know, who fits the right style of offense. And but he'll easily have a home sometime, either tomorrow or early Saturday.
Chris, we were talking transfer portal before you hopped in. So what do you make of UCF's philosophy so far in the transfer portal, right? Obviously, some names have left, but nobody really big, I guess. Who's the biggest name that you think has hurt UCF in terms of who entered the transfer portal?
I think Nekai Martinez certainly jumps out. You know, he started 13 games last year. He was kind of the original part of this hometown hero movement to bring in the best possible players from Orlando and its surrounding areas. So yeah, I think that hurts from a you know, more so from an off-field standpoint than I think from an on-field standpoint. I think he had a good year, but I do think there was, you know, there were times where he looked a little bit shaky in run defense for me. But I do think he's a very solid cover safety and not a player they were necessarily trying to have walk out the door. They wanted him. They, from everything I've told, they wanted to have him on the roster. And it was a fundamental disagreement in value and potentially in role. So I think that's part of the reason he left. And the only other one I think really, you know, I saw maybe some promise in was Jason DeClona. I think when I saw him play in the limited reps we did get, it looked like he matched up fairly well at cornerback. I understand that was a bit of a tougher decision, but they need some veteran presence there. And I think that might be a kind of a sticking point for Jason to go find a better opportunity if UCF does go out there and try to find an experienced corner to play alongside Brandon Adams this year, and with Antoine Jackson, Chasen Johnson, the likes behind them.
Chris, the Suns of UCF are home of the multiple poll questions per show. Another poll question we had was, are you satisfied with the QB room as it sits right now today? The overwhelming majority of the audience said yes, they are. Are you satisfied with UCF's QB room? If not, where do you think UCF needs to go into the portal?
Well, it ain't going to matter, in my opinion. I thought Aaron Hinshaw is satisfied and Gus Malzahn. I personally think they need experience in that room. I think that there has to be another guy behind KJ in case of injury or if he doesn't hit the ground running the way we all kind of assume he's going to, or if it doesn't quite work out. Dylan Risk hasn't played but only a handful of snaps of college football, and you have two true freshmen behind him. Xavier Williams is in the portal. Timmy McClain's in the portal. So you really have two guys. I think E.J. Colson, for all intents and purposes, we can assume is going to redshirt, considering he's not even on campus yet and won't be until June. And then Riley Trujillo is the fourth-string quarterback right now. And I think another guy, you're not really expecting true freshmen to play competitive reps. So I think you have to have some sort of backup plan, another guy in there to at least give you some sense of security over the course of 12 games. And John Rhys Plumlee as kind of the example that we've seen the last few years, obviously a much different body type, a much different play style than KJ Jefferson. But at the same time, I think you have to have two quarterbacks you can trust in to go out there and make plays. And, while Timmy McClain made some mistakes and had some mental lapses at times, he did make some plays too. He gave UCF chances to win football games and had 9 games worth of starting experience from USF. So even if it's a player along the lines of Ja'Kari Brown, who I think is a really sensible addition, he does have 3 years of eligibility too. So he can see as an opportunity of, yes, I'm the backup this year, but next year I can realistically contend to be the starting quarterback for this team. I think it's a really sensible ad and a player that, has seen action in bowl games and in regular season games.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the Bears have selected Caleb Williams. How do you think he will pan out in Chicago, or will it be yet another mistake for the Bears at quarterback?
I like Caleb Williams. I do. Chicago's history is tough to ignore, though. I have to be honest. It is very tough to think 50, 60 years worth of history is all of a sudden just going to be erased. But I do think he's got as much talent as anybody they've had there in a long time. And I think it was a no-brainer decision to reset the clock. You can build around him. You have Keenan Allen now there. You've got DJ Moore, who had a terrific first season for the Bears. I think it's the right decision. I think there's a lot of talent there. I know there's questions about maybe the maturity, some of the off-field stuff. That's not a concern to me. I think eventually – we see this guy's passion. We see this guy wants to go out there and win football games. And I think the Bears are not that far off from being competitive. This is not your typical number one situation. They've got Carolina's pick. I think everybody, almost kind of glosses over the fact that the Bears were a 7-win team last year. This is a good football team that he's going to walk in and upgrade potentially right at the key spot. And they could be in contention for a wild card next year.
Back to UCF, if in fact the Knights go in and get somebody at quarterback out of the portal, at what point are you developing the young guys? This is now the balance, right? How do you keep all these guys satisfied? And when the portal window opens again, who's leaving if they're bringing other people, right?
There's no keeping everybody happy. I think we have to admit that this is now a semester-to-semester bit of evaluation. And there's two portals, there's unlimited transfers. It does not matter if everybody's happy. You want everybody to be happy. You want everybody pulling the same direction. But if you're a quarterback and you don't think you have an immediate chance to start, you're looking for somewhere else where you do. And I don't think feelings and development are paramount anymore. It's winning. I mean, it's realistically what it's come down to. We have decided, this sport has trended in the direction of who can immediately help me win football games. And if they can't do it, get somebody else in who can. So I think you want to have youth on your side. You want to have long-term prospects to see the vision and grow into the role. But if there's a big gap in seniority, I think that's where your problem is. And right now, that's the problem I see with UCF. You have a player that's going to be a 5-year starter in Jefferson, and you have another player right behind him who's thrown 5 passes in Riz, and you have two other guys that are just stepping onto campus. So I think you have to bridge that situation. And if you're the quarterbacks in that room, I think sensibly you have to realize that, that's not a detriment to you. It's a roster need. It is a need for 2024. It might not be a need 2025, but it is a need right now. And that's what ideally you mentioned. You were asking me about like the strategy UCF's using the portal. Ideally, that's your strategy. You fit the immediate holes now with the portal, and then you build up your roster with the guys that you've recruited for multiple years out of the high school ranks.
In your reporting for the Daytona Beach News Journal, you like to put takeaways as part of your articles. What were your big takeaways out of the, I put air quotes around spring game, the half of football that we saw? What were your big takeaways? And when you were able to make it out to practice and what you heard from media availabilities, where do you come out of the spring game?
Yeah, I think I'd look at it from a broader standpoint of the whole spring. I mean, the number one thing to me was that the stock rising for Chase and Johnson, like the fact that he ran so many reps at the first and the second teams throughout the course of camp is really impressive for a kid that, you know, you almost forget was committed to Pittsburgh in the summer. They flipped him. They made him a priority. I don't think anybody of us saw, you know, of all the freshmen that they're bringing in of this class of 2024 that they've signed, I don't think most of us would have looked around and saw and said from day one, Chasen Johnson might be the instant impact guy. But given the spot he plays, and given the need on the team, I think he's going to have an immediate impact and play meaningful reps throughout the course of the season. He held his own, and everyone came away impressed. He was one guy that just about everybody talked about at some point. So that means something to me. Wide receiver, I think, is another instant impact position that they need to get somebody in from the portal. I think that's another spot opposite of Kobe Hudson, who missed a good chunk of the spring with a minor injury, and Xavier Townsend. I do think you need that other guy there, whether it's, you know, whether they go with Trent Whittemore as the other starter, whether they're ready to roll with Riddell Richardson, who is very impressive as well. I think it's another spot you'd like to have an extra person in, and somebody who can roll and give you, you know, meaningful reps this season. They tried it last year with a couple of guys. Corey Gamage, I think, was kind of the most glaring example that they tried at late and it just didn't work. But somebody I think that they could have trust and start a few games, whether that's Javarius Johnson, kind of seems like the most likely situation if they can get that over the line from Auburn.
Chris, circling back on something, I know you cover recruiting pretty closely for Daytona Beach News Journal. UCF, of these transfers that are leaving out, four of them are hometown heroes, right? Are you concerned at all about the optics of guys coming to UCF and now they have to leave after 1 year, right? Talking about Duclona, talking about Nakai Martinez, Goldie Lawrence, Timmy McClain, local kids who went to UCF and now can't stick there. Do you have any concern recruiting-wise that that's going to signal a message to other high school kids in the area?
You can kind of look at it that way. I mean, I also look at the opportunity, the successes that they've had too. I mean, let's not ignore that Nakai Martinez played a lot over 2 years. It was not, again, this was not a situation where they wanted him out, and this was not a situation where he was not welcome. I think, in some degree, you kind of worry about that from a long-term perspective. But at the end of the day, if you're giving enough guys opportunities and showcasing enough guys, I mean, for every situation like Timmy McClain, you also have RJ Harvey, who they've tried like hell to keep all year. And if, you know, both from avoiding him going into the draft and from going into the portal, a guy that's from Edgewater High School, that's, you know, a bleed blue kind of Orlando guy, right? Like a bleed black and gold UCF guy at this point, that he's stuck around to this point, in spite of what sounds like quite a bit of interest elsewhere. So I think that's important. And you know, the Henderson twins have played significant minutes. You look at Caven Call blossoming into a starting role this year. There's still enough examples on the roster. And John Walker, of course, it was touted and was what, freshman award of the year or something the other night. So, you know, there's still enough examples that you can point to if you're Gus Malzahn, if you're the staff and you're recruiting some of these guys nearby and say, hey, look, yes, this player left. Yes, this player left. Look at all these other guys that are playing in important roles and, you know, going to help us to where we want to get to go.
They're going to just be fine in that. Yes.
As the portal continues to wrap up here, Chris, where do you want to see UCF target? Is there a position group? Is there sort of an area of need that you look at that you think UCF's got to go after?
I'll go a couple. I mentioned wide receiver. I think that's an area that they need help. Cornerback is an area I've heard that they are very interested in attacking the veteran market. And I think offensive tackle, I think that's another spot that they need some competition at the right side specifically. Now, if they can get a left sided guy and then Amari Kite can play right side, I think that'd be great too. But Amari, I think, is perfectly capable of playing the left side. And I think wants the opportunity to get that, to get a full year's worth of tape at that position. But I do think the right tackle spot, and really any of the offensive line spots, they were linked to Jason Zandamella, who is a really talented true freshman, just didn't work out at USC. It sounded more like a situation he wanted to come back home to Florida after, you know, leaving Clearwater Academy International. But now the growing sense of that we've been reading today is that the Gators are the favorite for Zandamella. So again, offensive line, I think, is an area that they could certainly look to do. To get some help, and then cornerback and wide receiver. I think those and the backup QB spot. Those are the four spots to me that I think they really could stand to patch some holes.
What's on tap for the Boyle family over the summer?
Wow.
Well, I made this clear during the media luncheon. We're doing our Major League Ballpark tour. We started that last month. This month, about 3 weeks ago. In Tampa, we saw the Rays, and we're heading to Minneapolis to go see the Minnesota Twins in about a month's time on Memorial Day week. So that'll be a lot of fun, and they'll take just enough time off to get refreshed and then hit the ground running once August starts again, and, you know, probably be running six days a week, 7 days a week until we hit December.
In ballpark chases, it's not usually Rays then Twins, so that's an interesting pairing.
Thankfully, one of my best friends lives in Minneapolis, so we're going to visit him. We're making kind of a dual trip out of it. Also, shout out to the person that said I look like Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. In fact, so much so that at a birthday party once for my son, I found somebody wearing an Oakland A's hat. Somebody asked me to take a picture with them and pretend that I was Jonah Hill. And I told them on the basis only that I could wear the Oakland A's hat and pretend to be Moneyball Jonah Hill. That was the stipulation. I'm cool with it.
Chris, safe travels. We'll check in with you again over the summer and talk a little more UCF football.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks. Rays Twins. Where are you at? You're not a big baseball guy. So
I'm
this
not.
Is not a big thing for you.
I almost lost it because he does look a lot like Jonah Hill. I've been to my fair share of baseball stadiums. I think I've since ceased that as a Ute. I always wanted to do that trip where you travel the country in an RV and see a bunch of games in stadiums, but that has long since passed. I think I'd rather do what like college football tour guy does and go to a bunch of college football stadiums, but I'd miss UCF playing, so that doesn't work out my schedule.
I am missing only one ballpark, the Texas Rangers. They have built that ballpark, and I have not yet been. So
you've been to the old one, not the new one?
I've been to the old one, not the new one, so I'm missing the new one.
You've been every other major league ballpark?
Yeah, I had to go back to Atlanta. I had the Braves and then lost them. It's the ones you lose then. You know, you gotta circle back. I have a friend who is on a college football quest to see all the stadiums. He's at 206 of the 233. So he's averaging about three or four a year.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. What are you going to do with the Oakland A's? They don't have a home. Are you just going to follow them wherever they end up landing here in the next couple of years? You got to hurry up.
I will lose them. I don't know that I'll count them if they're in Sacramento, though they could end up in Sacramento, of course.
They could.
Time to check in with Jeff Allen in our Big 12 Minute.
Is it time to check in with Jeff Allen in the Big 12 Minute, Trace? You're right.
I would hope.
We're talking championships on this edition of the Big 12 Minute. Last week at the Big 12 Tennis Championships in Stillwater, Oklahoma State claimed the women's title as they downed Texas 4-0 in a matchup of the top two seeds. It's the third title for the Cowgirls in conference history. Christina Novak was named most outstanding player after going 2-0 in singles and 2-0 in doubles, in leading her team to the title. On the men's side, top seed is Texas rolled to a 4-love win over third-seeded TCU to win their sixth Big 12 title. Pierre-Yves Bailey of the Longhorns was most outstanding player after going 2-0 in singles and 2-0 in doubles. Texas won its 8th Big 12 Women's Golf Championship in Hockley, Texas last week. Their 54-hole score was 2 under par. Iowa State teammates Liana Durisic and Carissa Chol-Axorn tied for the top individual honor, shooting 6 under. Texas also captured the Big 12 men's golf title in Trinity, Texas this week, posting a 25-under, which is the second lowest 72-hole score in conference history, and a whopping 18 shots better than second-place Oklahoma. Individually, TCU's Gustav Fremont and Oklahoma State's Preston Stout and Ty Gingrich of Cincinnati each carded 9-under to share the top honors. Based on all those championship results we've given, the Longhorns certainly have made their mark in their final Big 12 season on their way to the SEC. With your Big 12 Minute, I'm Jeff Allen.
I leave it to Jeff to pronounce the tennis names. Those are tough.
God love Jeff Allen. The amount of deep state research he had to have completed to make that Big 12 Minute. God bless you, Jeff Allen.
So where are we at in this NFL draft? Another quarterback has gone off the board.
Yeah, Drake May has now gone from UNC to New England. So the Patriots' first year without Bill Belichick are going to rebuild with a quarterback, and that quarterback apparently is Drake May.
Where's Mac Jones now, by the way? I've lost track. Where did he go?
He is a backup for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, goodness, he's in Jacksonville. That's right. Oh, wow.
Why is that funny, Trace? Wow. I mean,
I don't know. I just...
Okay. Well, you laughed at it. You laughed at the poor kid.
He's trying hard. I never cared for him, but just you go from being. I never thought he was going to work out, and I razzed my Patriot friends about that. So I'm not.
Well, that's your own fault for having Patriots friends, first of all.
Well, I can't help where they live.
You could.
So that's three straight quarterbacks to begin.
Three straight quarterbacks. Again, interesting at 4 now. Arizona's on the board. There's a lot of thought Marvin Harrison Jr., but if you want one of those quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy, who I'm on record right now, he's going to be a bust, by the way. But if you want one of those quarterbacks, do you jump up here to 4 to try to get him before the Giants? Maybe pick him at 6. You got Minnesota out there. So, or will you take Marvin Harrison Jr. if you're Arizona, who's supposed to be one of the best wide receiver prospects we've seen in a long, long time?
Let's go back to our conversation with Chris. What would you make of his comments and the areas of need?
I can't disagree one bit. I think we've seen the offensive line. I think, you know, Herb has done a nice job. Herb Hand has done a nice job of rotating guys in and out, but clearly there's still something they're missing there, right? I think receivers an area of need. And I think quarterbacks an area of need. And it's clear they're loading up on the secondary, right? They're linked to a lot of guys who are, you know, coming from the secondary. If you look at the portal, you got 1, 2, 3, 4 guys who are DBs who've entered the portal for UCF. So clearly either the conversation's been had that they're bringing other folks in, or to your point earlier, these folks were decided to maybe move on to a greener pasture. So I think you can look at who you're losing to figure out who you're gaining, and perhaps UCF's going to load up on the secondary.
You know, while we may be wearing the same shirt, the backdrop is a little bit different. I see some new logos. Something's changed, Adam.
Well, very astute of you, Trace. Yes, something has changed. And what has changed is we've been super fortunate to have a really talented young gentleman, Miguel, walk into our lives, who has been instrumental in helping us build our website, helping us brand out some logos, helping us create some strategic partnerships. So we've been super grateful that Miguel has entered into the Suns sphere. I'm super happy to be connected with him. And he's got a really cool event coming up in a couple of days here, Trace. I know we're going to talk about it earlier, but he's got a little event with Ava Burick, who is the illustrator who makes all of those cartoon game day posters. So the ones where, you know, you see the Georgia Tech bee in a jar, or the rodeo at Boise State. Ava draws all of those individual posters, which I think are super cool. And I'd love to have a print of those, by the way, Eric DeSalvo, if you're listening, feel free to put those for sale. I'd buy a whole bunch of them for you. But he's got her locked in for an event next Tuesday night. It's a Zoom link, so you have to sign up at his website. And she's going to teach you how to draw Nitro. She's going to give you some tricks of the trade, talk some creativity, talk some artistry, talk a little UCF, maybe some inside scoop on what's to come. So it'll be a fun night. And Miguel's really passionate about this side of the work. He's really passionate about logos, design, illustration. So it should be a really cool night. So if you haven't already, check out his website at knights-fan.com. You can sign up for a fun evening with Miguel and Ava, and have some laughs and learn. I can't draw a trace, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to figure it out. I mean, it's going
to
be ugly.
Yeah, I signed up. Let's welcome in Miguel to talk about this Knight Fan Art Bash scheduled for next week. Miguel, good to see you again.
Good to see you guys. Thank you for having me on.
All right, you just heard Adam say he can't draw, and I don't think I can do the stacked UCF, but I don't think I can draw a Knight.
Can you? Can you? Hold on.
I think I can.
I need proof.
I can do the GKCO. Miguel, you're always popping with ideas. How much fun is it to constantly be in that, you know, those creative juices going around the UCF brand?
No, you said that you were blessed for me crossing paths. I think I was more blessed crossing paths with you guys because I think I was just a fan a year and a half ago. And then I saw a tweet maybe around this point 2 years ago or a year and a half ago where Sons of UCF, hey, we're looking to redo our website. Can anyone help us out? And I saw that tweet. I think I sent a DM. I was like, hey, I do some website stuff. And with that project last year, it really started getting the juices of like, I like this technology stuff. I like art and I love UCF. Why don't I just combine them all? So to answer your question, it's very fun. It's just there's so much to do with either Nitro, Nugget, all the space stuff, anything that comes up, it's like, how can we put this into a t-shirt? How can we put this on a hat? Or actually this design here, another fan was the one that came up with this idea. Sends me a message midnight. Hey, you know, the AC/DC logo, what if we do the Go Knights Charge On? I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And so it started with a shirt, then we put it on a hat. So yeah, I think it's a good way to just like bring the community together.
You know, there's a lot of debate in Knight Nation about Knights or Citronauts, but I will say this. UCF seems to keep pulling off working with both brands, and you're working with both of them. How do you find that to be a challenge and, you know, finding balance in those logos and those designs?
No, it's intriguing. Like in the shirt here, like, right, we got two that are gold, two that are blue. I think I like UCF as Knights, gold, black.
All right, end the show right now.
I'm gonna get canceled. Now I'm gonna get canceled.
You're gonna be fair. I like the space by a group too. By that vocal minority out there, the Citronaut people.
No, but to be fair, my favorite color is blue. So when I
get all right now,
I'm like, all right, I get it.
Miguel, I know you and I have talked a little bit off air, but what's the reaction been to some of your designs? I know, like you said, you weren't sure who was going to watch, who was going to listen, who was going to read, who was going to look at any of this stuff. And all of a sudden, you're at games and people wearing your shirts, your hats, and they're recognizing you. What's the reaction been as you've kind of put out some of these designs? Because they're unique. You don't see what you're doing anywhere else. What's the reaction been from UCF fans?
No, it started with these because these were just stickers. And we just... honestly, I was working on some other designs, just like 407 Orlando. And then my daughter was like, well, how about me? And I was like, all right, let me throw something together that's a little bit more like, I guess, child or cartoonish. And I came up with these designs. And that's where it really blew up. Like, I think I had a tweet that had like 10,000 views or something like that, which by far was nothing that I was expecting. So from there, it just kind of snowballed through the whole season last year. And it started with the stickers, then the hat, then the shirt. And I think it culminated at the bowl game down there in the Gasparilla Bowl, where I swear like 10 or 12 people came up to me and like, I love your designs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know who you are. Nice to meet you. Like, it's cool to see you wearing my stuff. Shout out to the Nylorian. He had one of my stickers on his armor that night. So like, I don't know. I've just been so blessed by the community that has embraced the logos and the designs.
All right. I hope I'm not betraying confidence this year, Miguel, but I know something about you that I want to get your thoughts on for the rest of the audience. You are a crazy UCF fan. Yes. Like you bleed black and gold. I've met your lovely family. I've met your lovely wife, who is a Cincinnati fan. How does this work out with a Knight and whatever the hell a Bearcat is, living under the same roof, Miguel. Take us inside of your pain.
No, yeah, no. Honestly, it's been a blast because the transition from the American to the Big 12, I tell my wife this all the time, it was just meant to be. We are meant to be rivals for the rest, and I hope if we ever switch another conference, they're coming with us, and I just hope we ride this all the way through. But honestly, it was not on purpose, but you ask my younger daughter, she's two, and she'll do the chant. She'll go, oh. You ask my older daughter, she doesn't want to do anything with UCF. Well,
that's a problem right
yeah.
there. Yeah, like, that's a problem.
Bearcats, 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 Bearcats. And actually, now with the younger one being all in for UCF,
yeah,
I think she might have swapped. I think she's flipping back to UCF, and I'm like, that's the way. That is the way. I don't know what is a Bearcat. Can someone explain?
No one knows. Yeah, no one knows.
Does your wife have an explanation for what it is?
She says it's a real animal, and I'm like,
did you say rodent? I'm sorry.
I mean, she likes guinea pigs. She likes a lot of rodents, so maybe it is a rodent. Who knows?
Well, to be two fair, things.
What is that?
Two things. Now, at least we, as parents, we all know we have our favorite child. Now you know who yours is, right? But B, are there any legendary, like, where you're like, you got to sleep on the couch, you guys have a bed, like clean the dishes, like mow the lawn, any legendary sort of like conflicts with the Knights, Bearcats? Like, oh, let me ask you this, I guess, better question. If they're not playing UCF, do you root for Cincinnati? So when they were in the college playoff, were you rooting for them to win? All right, I love it. I love where we're at.
That's okay, the correction.
I will say there this. We go. I will say this. My wife graduated from the University of Cincinnati, hence why she's a Bearcat, hence why she cheers for them. But I will say this, she is a Knight in and out every week, except with the caveat of one Saturday when UCF plays Cincinnati. And that day, okay, it makes sense. But she bleeds black and gold. And honestly, before we met, she really wasn't into sports, wasn't into football. So taking her to the bounce house, showing her what it's like, kind of got her in. And then she started rooting for Cincinnati afterwards. I'm like, whoa. You can't betray us like this.
So I love this. So she's pro UCF except for 1 week. And you are pro UCF every week.
Every week.
Love it. Week. That's the perfect setup right there.
Every week.
Miguel, take us into this event on Tuesday, the Knight Fan Art Bash, Tuesday, April 30, 7 o'clock. You can sign up for the Zoom link. What will this be like?
Yeah, no. So there's maybe like two or three portions to the event. One is just bringing a lot of UCF fans together, right? Ava is going to be doing a tutorial on how to draw Nitro. And then we're also going to do some giveaways. I think that's been the most exciting part of doing anything with Knights Fan Shop is being able to just give these designs away. So we got a magnet, an annual pass holder magnet, that's going to be given away. We have the Orlando art that's going to be on a canvas. That's going to be given away. And then one of our signature throw blankets that have the original stickers across all of that. That's going to be given away. And you never know. I might get crazy and throw more stuff away or give more stuff away. But it is April 30th at 7 p.m. all on Zoom. Like everyone has said, if you just go to knights-fan.com, You'll see a link. You click there, you can sign up. But the whole goal is to get UCF fans together, get excited. We're in the off season. Let's have some fun. Let's talk UCF. And in all reality, hopefully I ask good enough questions and maybe we can like either influence and or get the inside scoop of the next few game day posters that are going to be released for this season.
Yeah, we've tried with other guests to ask about the space game, and that doesn't get us very far, but maybe you can get some intel there. I hope you continue with this, too. I hope this isn't a one-off, and that this is sort of an interesting area in the UCS space, so I hope you continue. And Adam showed all the different logos. What'd you go on a brainstorming one night and created a bunch of new Suns UCF logos?
Well, yeah, no, Suns, like you reached out and we went, I think there's like six or seven different logos for Suns Live, for Around the Kingdom, and some other stuff. And like Adam said, I'm just happy to be part of the circle now and help out in any way I can.
Your family, Miguel. Your family. Suns family.
Well, hold on. Let's break this family up. So, Trace, for next week's show, I need you to draw your UCF stack logo that you're good at. And Miguel, I need you to grade it for us, all right? Oh. So, there's a little homework here because he said he could draw this, Miguel. And so I want to see the UCF stack logo. I will text it to you, and I need your official review as an artiste. Maybe Ava can give us a review. I don't know. But I need to see the Trace Trocco original UCF stack logo.
Hey, send it over. I'll give it a rate. Don't worry. I'm a lenient teacher. So
okay.
I can already say maybe B+, A-. So definitely.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Trace. Starting off with a generous curve.
Well, if the bell curve is a little bit to the left, you have to bring it a little bit to the right.
Miguel, thanks so much for being part of the Suns of UCF family and for all you do and all the creativity that you show. And remember, register Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Hop on that Zoom with a lot of other Knights fans who are going to be looking to tap their creative juices. So, Miguel, thanks for being with the Suns Live tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right.
Yep.
You doubt me on the stack logo. I've not been
there's no, well, you were so quick. I'm like, I can draw the stack logo.
Well, I think I can draw the letters. I felt.
Well, define draw. Like, you're just going to write UC and F, or like, you're going to like outline.
What do you want me to do? You want me?
I want you to replicate the logo, Trace.
I don't have a UCF. I mean, there's a,
I want you to replicate that right there. The stack with the bubble lettering and the little pointy stuff, whatever that's called. Like, you said you could
do it. I did get a B in art class in high school. So
you took a B? You took art? Wow.
I had an art class, yeah.
This is not a around the or inside the box or what's in the box segment.
About 5 minutes away from that.
what's the strangest class you took at UCF?
That was a high school art class, so I didn't take
art. I know, but I'm talking UCF. What did you take? What's your...
The Torchy Clark class.
Yeah, I took that too.
Yeah.
All right. Same. Coaching football, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Torchy Clark. I had a lot of fun in that, but that was...
Such a good class, yeah. Such
yeah, that was not a big challenge. That class. Nah. All right, time for some news and notes.
Hi, I'm Brandon Adams, 31. Let's go around the Kingfield.
I think he had done that like one or two takes. He didn't like.
Well, also outdated. He's not 31 anymore. Now he wears number zero. So we need a new one. But Brandon Adams was mentioned earlier. Is going to be a valuable part of the UCF defense. So glad to have him as the rejoin here on Around the Kingdom.
Congratulations, women's golf. Fifth straight trip to the NCAA regionals. They'll start off in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Baseball, 25-13 now. They beat Florida Gulf Coast 10-3 on Tuesday, this after taking 2-3 against Central Michigan. By the way, me in particular, blasted them for that Central Michigan loss last Friday. Hey, they went and knocked off Notre Dame in their midweek game. So maybe they're a little bit better than we thought. We spoke with head coach Rich Wallace following the game the other night and asked him where his team is as it reopens Big 12 play with Cincinnati coming to town.
But do you like where your team is right now?
I do, especially after the adjustments we've made since Friday. Like, there's some pieces. I think we're getting healthier. Should get another arm back, hopefully, here in the next 7 to 10 days. And then Sonny, looks like we'll have him hopefully this weekend.
That being Andrew Sundin, hopefully back in the lineup. That would be good for the Knights. Hosting Cincinnati Friday through Sunday, 6-6-1. Games on ESPN+. Tuesday, April 30, they are at North Florida up in your neck of the woods. Now at sonsofucf.com, the revamped website, thanks to Miguel and his creativity. You can find Michael Emptiness 4's latest article. He breaks down the series win over Central Michigan and as well looks ahead to the Cincinnati series. He is doing a great work and we appreciate all of his contributions to Sons of UCF as well. Softball swept Bethune-Cookman on Wednesday. Pitcher Ava Justman, a no-hitter for the Knights. That's the second one this season. Tall task, though. They welcome in number 2 Oklahoma Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6 to 11 a.m. Senior day on Sunday. Going to be a lot of names. Going to be emotional time out at the Plex, saying goodbye to a lot of noteworthy Knights. The doubleheader sweep. But the real story, though, congratulations, Eric Lopez, on his 600th broadcast of UCF softball.
little tribute video that has just popped with all of the former players that he's called games of. And Knight Nation just so appreciates what he does. It's a real privilege for us to get to work with him every week on Around the Kingdom. 600, you know, by the way, how many years of Around the Kingdom do we have to do? They get to 600 shows.
52.
It'll be more than a decade.
Times, yeah.
It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot.
We may, but congratulations, Eric, and looking forward to talking to him next week on Around the Kingdom. But what outspoken, outlandish, soundbite did you pull from this week's show?
Well, Trace, we should have done this in pre-production. So there was a question that came in the mailbag. I stole it for Around the Kingdom. I see you still have it on the rundown, but we're going to do it right here. This is the question that was brought in by Golden Knight underscore two that Elo and Trace answered on Around the Kingdom. Maybe. For the first time ever on Around the Kingdom Silly Game, I'm stealing a question from somebody else, Trace. This was a mailbag question we got for the Suns UCF live show, but it was so good, I have to bring it here, courtesy of at Golden Knight underscore two. If you can only abolish one, Trace, either NIL or the transfer portal, which one would you want to abolish?
I didn't realize I would need an answer so early in the week for a Thursday live
show. Now you can prepare in advance for Thursday.
NIL or the transfer portal? NIL in its current form, I think it should be funded by TV revenue and not supported by the fans. Does that count as the answer?
I'll give you NIL. Okay. It's a bit of a cop out, but I'll give it to you.
I'm going to go portal only because I always felt like athletes should be get some compensation. And really, you could argue we're in this position because the NCAA refused to allow them to have compensation. Maybe if they would have been a lot more flexible, we wouldn't be in this boat. So I would say get rid of the transfer portal because athletes have always transferred even without it, but you just go through a normal process. So that's what I would do.
You can find the latest episode of Around the Kingdom right now on the Sons of UCF YouTube channel. You know, this is where we go to the mailbag, but this is quite the treat. We have
a
live experience with Brian W. Peterson, who hops on now, who is at the second annual Night Out auction in downtown Orlando at the Balcony Orlando. Brian, welcome into Sons Live. You're all dressed up over there as well, I can see.
Oh, yeah. We're wearing the full getup here, guys.
What's going on there? What'd you bid on?
I got outbid pretty quickly. There was a bid to design a uniform. That went for well beyond my budget.
What else are you bidding on? We talked about this, what we might be interested in, and I liked the dinner prepared by offensive line coach Herb Hand at Gus Malzahn's house. What else are you interested in out there at the Night Out auction benefiting Kingdom NIL?
Most of the bidding has already taken place, Trace. They're getting down to the very end. Last item's going, as you can probably hear in the background.
Brian, I really wanted to get UCF Mike the trip with Gus and Johnny Dawkins just to see at what part of the country they throw him off the plane. Any chance I can still get that?
Nope. That one's already gone.
Man. What's the turnout?
Give us the
scene players? There. Yeah,
over
players.
200 people are here. Plenty of players. Okay. Yeah, there's a handful of players and plenty of folks here to bid for the kingdom to bring some NIL money for our players.
Which players have you seen?
RJ Harvey's been here. Jalen Sellers has been here. A couple others.
Very good. Very good.
I don't know.
Well,
if I can,
you know, at some point we should
do
some sort of auction in which people get to hang out with you. That the bidding for that could be through the roof.
I doubt it. I don't know if I can. If I can turn my camera around, you can probably see behind me. These are some of the items they were auctioning off earlier in a silent auction a little bit earlier. So some Rock'em socks, Loge tickets, some shoes, a swag box, throw the first pitch of a UCF baseball game. We got some jerseys that are signed here, all kinds of fun stuff. One of the helmets from the spring game, which is a pretty cool pickup if you ask me. So these are some of the silent auction items that they had earlier.
I don't
today
see anything
well.
Gold there.
No gold. No, I haven't seen any gold, unfortunately.
Well, Brian, we appreciate you hopping on with us. You know, we're about to do the mailbag, so why don't you say your signature line?
What was that, Trace? I couldn't hear you.
We're about to do the mailbag section. Why don't you give us your signature line?
It's that time again.
He's not wrong. It is that time again. See you, Brian.
Brian, be safe. Thank you. Brian.
But listen, as much as that live intro was Gary Trey, it doesn't replace this.
So it's a mailbag. So what?
So what? Do you know whose mailbag that is?
It's that time again. Time to open the Brian W. Peterson Sons of UCF mailbag.
Oh, hell yeah.
That jacket he had on looks familiar, Trace. I'm not going to lie to you. I think that may be the same jacket. I saw the same lapel pin there, yeah.
At @blackgold_ed, which UCF graduating class will be the first not to have the chain link fences in their bounce house grad pick backgrounds? I don't know. Were chain link fences a part of the redesign of the bounce house?
I didn't see it on the rendering. I was too busy looking at the signs. I didn't see it on the rendering.
Riley Carey 60. Do you think we need to beef up our O-line this year? You can never have enough offensive linemen. So if you can pluck a couple more out of the portal, and you heard Chris mention that as a area he thought they should target, I'm all for it.
Large human beings are never a problem. So get more of it as you can. Competition breeds better play, Trey. So bring in some guys and let the best five figure out who they are.
At two letters, two words. Robert, when we get to the point where schools can pay players directly, kind of feels like we're almost there now. If you're the athletic director, what do you sacrifice to pay players' salaries? Facilities, coaching salaries, staff positions? I think they have to operate under a salary cap like you see in professional sports, and these revenues should be coming from TV dollars primarily. So however they can afford it out of that budget, you have a Nick Saban making $11 million a year. It's hard not to say that salaries on high. I understand why the players are not using that.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to this one, Trace, but it's interesting. Texas A&M new athletic director Trev Alberts cut a bunch of staff positions recently, some senior AD, some other folks. So it seems as though maybe, and if that's a trend, you get rid of some of the staff needed. Do you need to recruit as heavily when you just have dollars? So maybe that's the new trend in college athletics, which would be unfortunate because a lot of good people would be out of jobs. But that could be the trend if Trev Alberts has anything to do with it.
We'll see how successful he is with that. Where are we at with the picks in the NFL draft? I saw Marvin Harrison. What have I missed?
Marvin Harrison went. Joe Alt went to the LA Chargers. Malik Nabers went to the Giants at seven. I'm sorry, at six. And the Titans at seven are now on the clock. The pick is allegedly in, Trace. We'll see who it is.
It is also that time for What's in the Box.
What's in the Box? I'm glad you asked.
Brought to you by
Charlie Hustle, by the way. You know, promo code TEN1215 will get you 15% off your order. Trace, a fresh 12 questions in the box here, which means you'll be here for seven of them with all your PTO. So here we go. Let's see what we got here.
Again in a couple of weeks to plan accordingly.
I'm aware.
Offensive tackle J.C. Latham of Alabama has been selected.
Yeah, this one did not work. This one didn't. Okay. All right, here we go, Trace. This is timely with the NFL draft on. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Who's the sports media personality you could do without?
Just one.
You can pick his. It's your role.
I have no interest in Stephen A. Smith. So I it doesn't interest me at all, and I'm long past interested in Chris Berman's antics on ESPN. So those are two that I tune out. I don't listen to either of them.
Wow. I don't even think Chris Berman's on ESPN. You may want to get over that one.
He's still doing the highlight show, but I think it's on the plus.
It's on like a plus or a thing. Yeah. I've never been a Skip Bayless guy.
I don't watch that guy. That's a clown guy. I don't watch that guy. There's more people that watch us than watch him.
Is that right?
Nobody watches him.
We should renegotiate then because
nobody watches him.
There's a disparity from a salary standpoint. I've never been a Skip Bayless guy. I shouldn't know this question was coming. I wrote it in there. Are we talking UCF people? No, I shouldn't do that. Sports media guy. I never liked, rest in peace, I never liked Tim McCarver.
Oh, I don't have a problem with Tim McCarver.
Never liked Tim McCarver. Yeah. We got Chris Collinsworth hater in the chat here. Joe Buck is polarizing. A lot of people don't like Joe Buck.
I don't understand the Joe Buck hate. I've never I never got.
I have another hot take, by the way. And I'm look. I apologize if Elo is listening, because again, 600 the show, and we support him.
You better not name Elo. What are you? What are you?
No, no. Jim Nance, overrated.
Hmm. Wow.
Overrated. Wow. Just kind of hanging on at this point. Overrated.
I never cared for Marv Albert, and I can't stand his son's voice, Kenny Albert. I can't stand
knock it off. Voice. Knock it right the heck off, Trace Jocko. Marv Albert is a legend. No. You can't not like Marv Albert.
No, wow. I don't care for him.
Wow.
I don't care for him.
Mike Greenberg, kind of annoying, yes?
Only when he was on the radio with Golic did it work. And to me, he doesn't work in any other form. So I don't like him in anything else he does. I liked him in that format, but nothing else.
I don't know what to... Wow. Oh, it's you. I thought it was me on the Jim Nance. Apparently, you're talking crazy tonight. And Mario, who survived New Orleans, I think. If he's texting that, he survived New Orleans, which is a minor upset. It was 2-1. He wouldn't. So DraftKings lost some money there. But shouts to Mario for surviving New Orleans.
All right, Adam. We have worked through some picks in the first round draft. I want to thank Chris Boyle for talking all things UCF with us, and Miguel Chavez for talking about the big art event. You'll be on there. I apparently have some homework to do that's going to be graded. Homework that is graded.
Well, don't tell the teacher you're the best student in the class, Tracy. Then you got to prove it. What do you want to tell you?
Congratulations again, Eric Lopez. I will look forward to seeing you out at UCF softball this weekend, and baseball welcoming in the Bearcats. So a divide there in Miguel's household as the Bearcats come out to Orlando for baseball. For Adam Eaton, I'm Trace Trolko. Thank you so much for watching this week's Sons of UCF Live. Go Knights!
Charge on!
I'm Jared Baker. I play wide receiver here at UCF. Thanks for watching Sons of UCF.
Why are we leaving him out? Why do we need another wide receiver? He had a good spring. He had a good spring camp and a spring game. And so why not him?
I just love the laundry bin as an interview background.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.